Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date is March 20th, episode 39. And this podcast will do something different. With the NCAA tournament about to start, we look at five teams that are in the field, and I give you my starting five for these five teams. The University of North Carolina, the Duke Blue Devils, Tennessee Volunteers, Arizona Wildcats, and the Michigan State Spartans. This will be a fun episode. Get a little bit of basketball history for you folks, and you'll see a lot of familiar faces with them. So let's start off with my all-time lineup for the number one seed in the West, the North Carolina Tar Heels, a team rich in basketball tradition. When you think about some of the coaches they've had, namely Dean Smith, Roy Williams, and now being coached by Hubert Davis, a great player for UNC, but he did not make my list. My starting five, Phil Ford, of course, Michael Jordan, big game James Worthy, Tyler Hansbrough, and big smooth Sam Perkins. Now let's start off with Phil Ford, who scored about 18 points a game, three-time All-ACC, 77-78 ACC Player of the Year, won the Wooden Award, three-time All-American, four seasons at UNC, and a top two pick of the 1978 NBA draft. And Phil Ford was a fantastic guard. Spent time on the Carolina staff. Is someone that's been really good and really was one of the great players that Dean Smith had in the late 70s as it got to the 80s. Strong guard, athletic, could defend, play both sides of the ball for a team, for a guy that, remember folks, Dean Smith didn't win his first national championship until this guy came along, and that's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, national championship. We remember 1982, that big shot, about 17 seconds left to go on the skip pass, knocked down that 17-footer against Georgetown. Naismith Award winner, two-time All-American, three seasons at UNC, the number three player picked in the 1984 draft, and the only person to hold him under 20 points per game was Dean Smith. What a career Michael Jordan had in his three seasons at North Carolina. Next up, big game James. James Worthy, All-American, two-time All-Region, national champion, was a teammate of Michael Jordan on that team. Three seasons at UNC and the number two pick of the NBA draft. James Worthy, folks, was really such an athletic player. At about 6'8", could run the floor like a gazelle, sneaky athletic. Obviously, we know we had a great career with the LA Lakers. Let's move on to the power forward. Really, I loved watching this guy play, and that's Tyler Hansbrough, two-time Naismith Award winner, national champion, four seasons at UNC. You heard that, folks? Four seasons. 13th overall pick in the 2009 NBA draft, four-time All-American, and this guy played with such energy and such passion that anybody that, even if you didn't like UNC, you liked watching Tyler Hansbrough play because he played so hard. And at the center, the big lefty, a.k.a. Big Smooth, Sam Perkins, scoring at about 22 points per game in his career, three-time All-American, All-Region, three seasons at UNC, fourth overall draft pick in 1984 draft, NCAA champion. Folks, do you realize that Sam Perkins, Michael Jordan, and James Worthy were on the same team that won in 82? And they needed a jumper by Jordan at the end and a bad pass by Fred Brown to the wrong team for them to win the national championship. What a legacy they have at UNC. And the number one seed, obviously, in the West. Let's move on to the number four seed in the South. And that's the Duke Blue Devils. Obviously, we know about the great coach of Mike Krzyzewski, just retired a couple of years ago. His former player, John Shire, great player in his own right, coaching now at Duke. Here is my all-time team. The pride of Jersey City, Bobby Hurley, currently the head coach at Arizona State. Jay, You know him as Jay. Back then, he was Jason Williams. Pride in New Jersey. I'm not just taking these guys to their jersey, folks. At the small forward, Grant Hill. At the power forward, Danny Ferry. And at the center position, Christian Laettner. And let's start with the ultimate floor general and Bobby Hurley, someone I got to watch growing up, being a Jersey guy, two-time national champion, three-time All-ACC, All-Region, All-American, four seasons at Duke, seventh overall pick in the 1993 NBA draft, and really had that really bad car crash when he got drafted by Sacramento. But Bobby Hurley was such a fantastic, true floor general. Wasn't the greatest shooter, but you want to talk about get you in the offense, the heart and soul of a team, got guys in spots, the consummate point guard. Folks, if you want to watch a true point guard play in college, go back and watch Bobby Hurley play when he played at Duke University. He was absolutely fantastic. At the two guard, I guess a co-point guard, and that's Jason Williams, one-time national champion, Naismith Moore winner, two-time All-American, three seasons at Duke, number two overall pick, their 2002 NBA draft to the Chicago Bulls, and his career got cut short after a really gruesome motorcycle accident. I mean, between Jay Williams and Bobby Hurley, two great careers that were cut short because of accidents. Jason Williams was absolutely fantastic. Someone has a point that is really strong and rugged, could shoot the lights out, can get to the 10, and was tough as you know what. The pride of Jersey, done a great job as a commentator over the years, someone that I've seen play as he grew up, being a little bit younger than me, but obviously a fantastic player, Jay, or you could call him Jason Williams. Next up, Grant Hill. Now, Grant Hill was a two-time All-American, two-time national champion, four seasons at Duke, number three overall draft pick, 1994 NBA draft, the Detroit. And I want people to understand something about Grant Hill. You got to remember that when Duke lost the 1990 championship, right? They lost the 1990 championship. I think it was 103-73 to UNLV. Ala Abdelnaby leaves. Everybody else is the same. But who comes in as a freshman? It's Grant Hill. And Grant Hill was so athletic as a he played the small forward. But to me, he was like the way he could pass the ball, see the floor, big guard. He almost was like a more athletic Magic Johnson. Not like Penny Hardaway, which I talked about before, but kind of in that role. Big. Like someone that could play multiple positions, can guard. You know, the only thing about Grant, he wasn't the best shooter, but God, was he so athletic. And he was just that last piece to the puzzle that Duke needed to win back-to-back championships, beating Kansas in 91 and Michigan in the Fab Five in 1992. At the power forward position, Danny Ferry, one of the great first players that Coach K had at Duke. 1989, I should say, second overall pick, two-time All-American, four seasons at Duke, All-Region, Naismith Award winner. And Danny Ferry was someone that was really like a, I guess you would call him like a stretch four, I guess is a good way to look at Danny Ferry. Someone that could take you inside and then take you outside, played at a really famous high school called DeMatha Catholic. Folks, I almost should do one. A starting five and a bench of just DeMatha High School, the great Morgan Wooten, DeMatha High School, right outside of Baltimore, Maryland. Lastly, at the center position, God, I couldn't stand this guy, but he was so good. Christian Laettner, two-time All-American, Naismith Award winner, three seasons at Duke, number four pick. Arthur overall pick, and Christian Laettner was a number three overall pick when he got drafted after Shaquille O'Neal and Alonzo Mourning. What a great career Christian Laettner had, two-time NCAA champion. We all know the shot that he hit at the Philadelphia Spectrum in what I would call the greatest basketball game I've ever seen in college, which was the Elite Eight game between Duke and Kentucky, with a young coach named Rick Pitino coaching Kentucky in that long full court pass that Grant Hill threw to Christian Laettner, and of course a turnaround jumper at the buzzer. So that is my starting lineup for the Duke Blue Devils. Let's move on. The number two seed in the Midwest, the Tennessee Volunteers. A team, folks, you think about football, has a very rich basketball tradition. My starting five for Tennessee: Chris Lofton, Allen Houston at the guard, Dale Ellis. Let's go with a three-guard lineup. And let's go with two small slash power forwards, Bernard King and Ernie Grenfell. And Chris Lofton was a great player that played about 10 or so years ago. Scored about 17 points a game. Really dynamic. Shot the ball about 46% from three. Really could do a lot of things with the ball in his hands. Chris Lofton was really a dynamic scorer. Underrated player, I would say, in the SEC. People don't give him enough credit. Next up at the two guard, Allen Houston. Played for his dad, Wade Houston, at Tennessee. Then got drafted, obviously, to Detroit. Then went on to a great career with the New York Knicks. And Allen Houston was smooth. Got a great jumper. His Tennessee teams weren't really that good, but he was an absolute bucket. Let's go on to the small forward, Dale Ellis, one of the best pure shooters I've ever seen and one of the quickest releases I've ever seen in a guy like Dale Ellis. And when you think about Dale Ellis, and here's the funny thing, like, here's Dale Ellis. Folks, he's dunking. I didn't even know that Dale Ellis could dunk a basketball. Like, that's news to me. Dale Ellis, who had a prolific NBA career, was drafted, I do believe, in 1983 as the ninth overall draft pick. Let's move on to one of my favorite players growing up. And we used to call him the King of New York. And that's Bernard King. Bernard King, the pride of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Bernard King, this, folks, this is back in the day before the Big East in the 70s, where the top players in New York would go away to go to college. They would go to the SEC or the ACC or all the way like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. Lou Alcindor, who did, went to the Pac-8 or Pac-10. This guy was such a dynamic scorer, Bernard King, from 1974 to 77. Was an unbelievable player. He was an All-American, first team, 77, second team, 76, third team, 75, three-time SEC Player of the Year, number retired by the Tennessee Balls, and then went on to have a fantastic career in the NBA, most notably with the New York Knicks. And then his teammate, Ernie Grunfeld. So, folks, you know what they used to call him back in the day? They used to call him the Bernie and Ernie Show. Ernie Grunfeld, fantastic player. Ready? They got one guy from Brooklyn, and they got Ernie Grunfeld from Queens. 1977 first-round draft pick by the Milwaukee Bucks. Decorated career in the NBA, ended it with the New York Knicks. Third-team All-American in 73. Second-team All-American in 77. Third-team All-American, 76. Sorry, he was parade All-American, 73. That's high school All-American, so I should say. Not the decorated career that Bernard King had, but really that Bernie and Ernie Show really was at the time when I do believe Johnny Majors was the football coach. These guys made basketball big in the state of Tennessee. Let's move on to the Arizona Wildcats, the number two seed in the West. A team ripe in tradition, obviously with the great coach at that time, Lute Olson, was a lot of these guys. And let's look at my starting five for Arizona. At the guards, Mike Bibby, Damon Stoudemire. At the forwards, Sean Elliott, Richard Jefferson, and Miles Simon. Let's start with Mike Bibby, who had a decorated career, drafted second overall by the Vancouver Grizzlies in 1998. And a player that was, you know, Mr. USA Basketball in 1996 before he got to Arizona. Freshman of the year in the Pac-10, 1997. First team All-Pac-10, 98. Pac-10 Player of the Year, 98. Consensus All-American in 1998. what a career that Mike Bibby had at the University of Arizona. Let's move on to Damon Stoudamire, now the head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Damon Stoudamire, who also had a great career, number 7 draft pick overall in 1995 by the Toronto Raptors, their first ever draft pick, out of Portland, Oregon. Oregon's produced some really great basketball players, but when you think about Damon Stoudamire, right, 3-time All Pac-10 first team, Pac-10 Player of the Year 1995, first team All American 1995. What a career, that smooth lefty jump shot that Damon Stoudamire had. At the small forward, arguably the greatest player to play for Lute Olson, and that's Sean Elliott. Sean Elliott, who was a 1989 first-round draft pick, number 3 overall with the San Antonio Spurs, played pretty much most of his career with San Antonio, went to San Antonio, went to Detroit, came back. When you think about Sean Elliott and what he did with his number retired, Pac-10 freshman year 1986, 2-time Pac-10 tournament MVP, 3-time All Pac-10 first team, 2-time Pac-10 player of the year. You're running out of accolades? We got more. 2-time contestants All-American, AP player of the year in 89, and NABC, National Association of Basketball Coaches player of the year, Adolph Rupp Trophy Award winner, John Wooden Award winner. What a career Sean Elliott had at the University of Arizona, where I believe he is the greatest player to ever play there. And then lastly, Miles Simon was part of the championship team that won, I do believe, in 1997, I want to say. Miles Simon, whose numbers retired by the University of Arizona, first team All Pac-10, 1998, when he was a first team All-American, won the championship, like I said, in 1997, finally got Lute Olson his championship, most outstanding player of the Final Four in 1997. What a career that he had at Miles Simon. And then lastly, Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson, who was a fantastic player at the University of Arizona, now is crafting himself as an NBA analyst and becoming a pretty good one, opinionated, but very good. 2001 first-round draft pick, 13th pick overall. And this guy was a McDonald's All-American. Didn't make any accolades in regards to college teams, but really was a fantastic, fantastic player and was part of 2012 Pac-12. They honored him for at the men's basketball tournament. What a career that Richard Jefferson had. Let's end our podcast with talking about Michigan State. Think about Judd Heathcote, and then Judd Heathcote's replacement, Tom Izzo. Folks, they've had two coaches the last 40, 50 years. Like, think about that, folks. Think about how coaches get hired and fired. They've had two coaches over the last probably 40 to 50 years. Here is my team for Michigan State. At the guards, Mateen Cleaves, Irvin Magic Johnson, Sean Rusbert, Denzel Valentine, and Draymond Green. And when you talk about Mateen Cleaves and the spirit and the passion that he played with, Mateen Cleaves, who was the number 14 overall pick in 2000 by the Detroit Pistons, really had a great career at Michigan State. Number 12 is retired. Most outstanding player of the Big Ten tournament in 1999. 2-time Big Ten player of the year. Second team All-American in 1998 and 2000. First team All-American in 1999. And the NCAA champion and most outstanding player of the 2000 Final Four. When he played with his buddy Moore Pete, they called them the Flintstones because they were both from Flint, Michigan. And Mateen Cleaves played with so much passion and joy that it was such an amazing thing to watch. And folks, think about this. He was the point guard for the last team that the Big Ten has a national champion. Think about that as you go into the NCAA tournament with Zach Edey and Purdue, the number one seed in the Midwest, a decorated conference with teams like Michigan And Indiana, the last time they had a NCAA champion was the year 2000. Well, let's move on to another guy that won a championship. And his name is Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson, who only played two seasons at Michigan State. You can know him for what he did with the Lakers. You can talk about his business sense. But I remember him coming out of Lansing, Michigan, and what he did his 2 years at Michigan State. Number 33 retired. Remember, folks, he wore number 33 in college. He switched to 32 because there's some guy named Kareem that was on the Lakers. He had to switch his number. Two-time All-Big Ten. Third-team All-American his freshman year. Second-team All-American by the NABC that same year. First-team All-American 1979. Most outstanding player at the Final Four in 1979. And we can always talk about that legendary matchup that Irvin Johnson had with Larry Bird. The most watched college basketball game, I do believe, still of all time. And what springboard the NBA. Got to remember, folks, the NBA, the finals were on tape delay in the 80s, late 70s. Magic and Larry. Larry and Magic. Always will be tied together. Magic Johnson helped save the NBA and probably helped save basketball in this country. And what a career he had for the Michigan State Spartans. Let's move on to a guy that you may not know about too much, and that's Sean Respert. Sean Respert was an absolute bucket. Number 24 retired by Michigan State. Big Ten Player of the Year in 1995. Third Team All-American 1994. First Team All-American 1995. NABC Sporting News College Basketball Player of the Year in 1995. And Sean Respert, who was undersized as a point, 6'1". But scored and scored with reckless abandon. He was second all-time in scoring in the history of the Big Ten players. I think it was, I want to say maybe Calbert Chaney, who played at Indiana for Bobby Knight, may have been the person that was ahead of him in scoring. With Sean Respert, an absolutely, absolutely great undersized point guard out of Detroit. A player that doesn't get the respect that he should get as a pro, well, as a college player, underrated. I loved watching Denzel Valentine play for Tom Izzo. Denzel Valentine, left Michigan State, was first-round draft pick in 2016, number 14 overall, and he was just an outstanding player over his time at Michigan State. You can look at Big Ten Most Outstanding Player in 2016, third team All-Big Ten in 2015, first team 2016, Player of the Year in 2016, All-American in 2016, AP and NABC Player of the Year in 2016. What a phenomenal player was Denzel Valentine, someone that really shot the ball pretty well, but really was almost like a junkyard dog. In his four seasons, really elevated his game, folks. Went from 5 points a game his freshman year all the way to 19.2 points per game his senior year. And lastly, and not least, Draymond Green. Folks, Draymond Green, don't think of Draymond the way he is now. Like, when Draymond Green played at Michigan State his 4 years, same thing, got better as he got older. By the time he was a senior, scored 16.2 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, 3.8 assists, right? A Draymond Green that over the course of his career, like we talked about, got better and better and better. Big Ten Sixth Man of the Year 2010. Most Outstanding Player in the Big Ten Tournament in 2012. Big Ten All-Defensive in 2010, right? Two-time third-team All-Big Ten. First-team All-Big Ten 2012. Big Ten Player of the Year 2012, first team All-American, Player of the Year in 2012. What a career Draymond Green had. And the crazy thing is, Draymond Green was a second round draft pick. So I just gave you my starting lineup for five teams in the NCAA tournament: UNC, Duke, Tennessee, Arizona, Michigan State. Let's see how those teams do in the tournament this year. Thank you for listening to episode 39 of this great podcast. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. You can download it on iOS or the Google Play Store. Next podcast will come Monday. We will recap the first weekend of the NCAA tournament and start setting you up for the Sweet 16. For my producer, Matt George, who does a fantastic job, and Vinny with the graphics. This has been Coach Young. It's a pleasure to have you listen to the podcast. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.